Yeah, g'day everyone and welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. We're with you for the next hour here to preview everything NRL Round 11. We've got all eight games. We can already see the comments rolling in. We love that. Let me welcome in my co-host, Winnie. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, mate. Off another winning weekend, gone 2-0 with our best bets. We did lose the mixed matchup 30-28. That was a bit agonising. Lost the round multi and the SGM was close, but not close enough. But I'm great because I had a sensational time at the Tripod event, mate. I want to say straight off the bat, thanks to Top Sport again for putting it on. We are already looking at making it happen again. Whether it's later in the year, might be at the Gold Coast. I know that could work well for you, Clarkie. I was saying, You know, if the Titans are hosting a prelim, is that going to be at Cbus? Maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. But people want us to run it back at Suncorp next year. I feel like we've got a lot of followers in other cities like Sydney. We should expand it as well. Let us know in the comments if you'd ever be keen to come along. Or where you'd want us to have it. About half the guys who came on the weekend were people who we personally invited who had contributed to the group for many years. And about the other half were people who won tickets watching the show like you guys are right now. We appreciate you. And yeah, it was a cracking day. We saw 3 of 3 upsets, massive crew, but we discussed that all in the recap. My last thought is just how time flies, eh, Clarkie? It's already 10 rounds wrapped. But the good news is we're riding a 6 best bet winning streak. Hopefully we can keep that rolling.
Yeah, that's the winning streak we want to keep rolling the most. Seems like an appropriate time to roll back the best bets for the show. Now, the best bets have a new sponsor, guys. It's Tripod Merchandise. We've got shirts, hoodies, stubby coolers, and more. Available only for a limited time. Order through the link in the show description. Open for the next 2 rounds, and then that's it. You'll never be able to get your hands on it again. So not only will you look sharp whilst you're betting in high-quality apparel, owning Tripod merch will get you inside the track to future Tripod events that we host. Free shipping on any orders over $50 Australia-wide. With that, Winnie, let's roll back the curtains. What do you got for this week in the way of best bets?
I do have 3 best bets to share. So Thursday night, I'm going to take the Melbourne Storm, -3.5 on Dabble at $2 odds. At home, I think Brisbane will be a popular underdog, but I have a sense that Melbourne will come out desperate here. I think they're getting a more complete side. Even Kamikamitha is in the reserves there. They're basically the worst performing side of a bye this year at Magic Round, but I think they redeemed that. Down in Melbourne, always hard to beat. I think the difference in the game is still kind of the matchup in the key positions like Harry Grant at 9 and what Jerome Hughes and Munster can do in the way of generating opportunities for their team, whereas I really do think Melbourne will be stout here and can hold Brisbane in check. Look, don't toss Melbourne out just because they got beaten well by South. South did exactly the same thing to Brisbane just a week earlier. Then I'm going Canterbury +0.5 in the first half, $1.88 on Ladbrokes against New Zealand. I see these teams as pretty evenly matched with Adokar back. Suddenly, that's a really exciting back line. And I think this game could literally come down to Burton versus Johnson. And give me Burton's kicking game and Burton's running game as well, since he's moved to 7, is touching the ball even more. And I love that underdog getting that hook in the first half where they don't have to be leading. And another underdog I like, sorry to tell you, Clarkie, but on Sunday night, I'm taking the Knights +1.5, $1.84 on Betr. It's a similar story where I think they're actually evenly matched teams and you've got home advantage and the bye factor, which we'll get into and what the Knights might have done during their bye. But Adam Elliott comes back into this team. As great as the Titans have been, I wonder how much energy they've expended physically and emotionally recently. And there's still no AJ Brimson. Don't forget when a team is missing a key player just because they've won some games. So I think the Knights, being blown out by Parramatta aside, have shown some resilience and toughness defensively. They can keep them in a game. Maybe it does come down to a field goal. So taking the 1.5 there. What do you make of it? I know you will dislike that third one, but how about the other two?
Mate, all best bets that make sense. I've probably got some stats that later in the show that'll back up all three, if I'm being very honest with you, unfortunately, particularly for the Titans game there. I thought I'd be alone with the Melbourne Storm. I was actually surprised they were underdogs in the betting market when I was doing my tips, but I think that's a good place to probably start. The Storm do versus the Broncos on Thursday night. Now, there's no changes for Melbourne and there's no expected changes for Brisbane as well, so pretty even sides you can imagine. The line is set at -3.5 in the Melbourne Storm favour. Now, 2.5, my apologies. Now, that did take me by surprise. It took me by surprise just because the way the Broncos are playing this year, I thought that they deserved to be favourites in this one. And I thought there might have been a bit of value with a plus next to the Melbourne Storm. It's not the way to be. Doesn't matter anyway, we take them with the minus.
That's right. I know a lot of people will be thinking the same way as you, Clarkie, and sometimes when a line seems too good to be true, like people will be thinking with Brisbane, sometimes it is. But first I want to say, what a great game we get to kick off round 11. Seems like we're week after week, we're getting heavyweight clashes in the night games. And although Melbourne were underwhelming, as I said before last week, I want to tidy up that stat I've given about the bye because I might have misspoken slightly, but I looked closer at it. So 9 teams so far this year have had a bye. 6 came back and won. 3 have lost. But of the 3 losers, you had Wests, who hadn't won a game, only lost by 6 to Manly. It was actually a good performance. You had Penrith lost in Golden Point to Parramatta in a very high-level encounter. It was a pretty decent performance. It's only Melbourne last week who lost by double digits, who you'd say was an underwhelming, lackluster showing after the break. So in general, teams have done very well after a bye, but I think Melbourne will redeem that here. Naming the same 17, although maybe Kamikamita comes in. As I said, Brisbane suffered exactly the same fate as the Storm did, and it was a home game for Brisbane when they got dealt even a bigger defeat to Souths. I know people will like Brisbane, and those who play Storm will probably cite Melbourne's record against Brisbane and a particularly strong record in Melbourne. You might have the numbers on that, Clarkie. For me, it's really not about that. I don't kind of buy into those numbers to influence my tip. I just think that the Storm forward pack will be personally challenged by Bellamy. I think they'll stand up to him. And then on the back of that, while Brisbane's got some playmakers, obviously like Walsh and Reynolds, I actually would still rather have Munster and Hughes in their home environment. And I do believe they'll steer them to a victory.
And you look at that Melbourne Storm spine and the success that they've had over the past decade or however long, it's all come from around that spine. You'd argue Nick Meaney's in career best form. Harry Grant leads the Dally M for hookers, and Munster and Hughes kind of speak for themselves. So I am going to go the Melbourne Storm here under my no underestimating them rule. I didn't last week and I got away with one, tipping the other side. They were disappointing, but I do think they're in a position to bounce back. Travel. It's a big thing in footy, but it's not really spoken about too much. Maybe it's not a huge thing, but I think it is a consideration. And the Broncos have only left Queensland twice this year. Once was in round one against the Panthers. It did very well there. The other was in the Northern Territory in round 8. And so this is really the first time in a while where they've actually have to pack up, go away from home, travel, rock up at a hostile environment in an away crowd. I think they could be dangerous against the Storm. I'm certainly not going to rule them out. I actually had a note here saying they deserve to be favourites. And I wrote that up before the betting markets came out with a little bit of when I was looking at it earlier. Look, for all the faults of the Melbourne Storm this year, and we know they're not the side that they have been in previous years, which is really hard to replicate. They still completed 80% on average, which is the third best in the NRL. And they average less missed tackles than the Broncos. You put those two stats together, then you start looking at the little mental advantages there, being at home, huffing to bounce back, being challenged by Bellamy. I think that's worth a tip alone. But throw this into your consideration as well, Winnie. The Storm have won every single Thursday night game they've ever played at Amy Park. They're 12 from 12, never lost on a Thursday at home. And I honestly couldn't believe this stat. They've won their past 12 straight against the Broncos. That was on the NRL website. It seems like the Broncos would have won somewhere in there. But yeah, 12 in a row. So I'm with you all the way on that best bet. I like it a lot.
And a question came in from Jeremy. And Jeremy is one of the Law Pod followers who came from across the ditch. And we got to meet him in person. He's a fantastic fella. And asking about which direction we think the line will move. Look, I think more of the public may actually like Brisbane and may take the 2.5. Mm. I really do think those stats that you're citing, like 12 straight by Melbourne, will keep some people off Brisbane. I don't think that should be why you should be worried. I think Brisbane knows that and they'll love that challenge. Let's go down and snap that streak because they've got the best team they've had for the last, you know, probably, what, they've probably got the best team they've had since 2016 or something, going back to that grand final contending team. So they've definitely got a chance. But on the other hand, I believe Melbourne are the sharp side. So I don't think this line is going to get any lower or I wouldn't tip it out. So if I'm tipping something and I think it's a sharp side, and sometimes pod bets can even shift it further. So if you like Melbourne, I would play it tonight as advised. You only got to go back 7 days when we tipped Canberra, a similar line, -3.5. If you let it creep any longer, you didn't win that best bet.
Yeah, no, exactly right there. It's take it while you can get it would be my advice as well. So the Bulldogs and the Warriors up next. The line for this one is set at, I believe it was minus, we'll get to that in one second. For the Bulldogs, minus 1.5 in the Warriors' favor. Of course, our lines that you see on the video format of this are all via Top Sport. For the Bulldogs, Josh Adokar is in, so Declan Casey drops out. For the Warriors, Rocco Berry's in, Edward Cossey is out. Ronald Volkman, he's been awesome in New South Wales Cup. He gets a chance at 5-8, and that pushes Dylan Walker to the bench. You're with the Bulldogs in this one. I'm going to tip the Warriors, but I'll let you have your chance to go why you're Bulldogs, and then I'll say why I'm going for the Warriors in this one.
I will, and I'll respond. I think it was Ben who asked, and fair comment, Winnie, have you ever tipped the Warriors? And look, I've had a jaded history with Warriors bets for and against them, to be fair, and I definitely like. Well, look, have I got a bias unconscious like the CEO of One suggests that the referees do? You know, if it's unconscious, I don't know. But I am conscious of who I back and who I don't. I'm never trying to go against New Zealand. I feel like they get a bit of a groundswell of support when they're going well, and then I don't find a lot of value in some of their lines. I can tell you the last time I backed them was the Anzac Day mixed matchup, and they had to hold Melbourne, I think, to under 26 points or under 27, and they let in about 28 or 30, unfortunately. So they did fail us there, Ben. But that's not the reason I'm against them. I went into this one seeing who I liked, and I just, as I kind of said at the top, but I'll elaborate on, I do kind of favour the Bulldogs in this one. I think they're getting right a little bit more so at this time of the year, you know, with Adokar coming back in on the back of Kiraz. So let's look at that back line now, because Avarillo's really ascended this year. Alamotti is a talent. I've talked up Perham. That's now one of the best back lines outside fives in the competition. And you look at the combination between Burton and Marnie, really seems to strengthen every week for me. And the forward back's been so depleted, but you've had guys like King out, and Waddell has looked really good. And Preston just impresses me every week. Plus, Tevita Pangai Jr. only kind of got back about a month ago. Getting more games under his belt is the kind of player that probably needs to play his way into fitness. Those are all the reasons why I think they match up very well with this Warriors. Of course, we've seen this already. I watched this game play out in New Zealand. It was 16-14, somewhat controversial, but a tight game. New Zealand deserving to win on a wet afternoon. Must have been about, can't remember now, about round four, round five. And I would also say New Zealand was the better team at Magic Round, even though the scoreline might not suggest that because the Dogs finished closer in their loss. I wasn't that impressed by the Bulldogs. And look, if you want to make the case of New Zealand, Clarkey, you know, they've missed key players as well. CNK, Egan, Tohu Harris have all missed time in key positions, all got through the full game last week. I can't write off the Waz. It's just a matter for me of whether they should be favourites on the road. It's a tough spot when they had a very physical match that gave it all to hang in there against Penrith, to then back up to a Friday game on the road again. And as I say, like, you're splitting hairs there. Would you take Johnson over Burton if everything else was equal? I feel like it could be the difference. And as much as I'm a fan of Sean Johnson, I am going Burton. And that's the kind of explanation behind my best bet. And I think the best way to execute, well, you could take the 1.5 for the full game, and you've got 80 minutes for your kind of edge or your handicap to play itself out. In 40 minutes, you're a bit more sensitive to an unlucky play. But in a shorter period of time, the points are worth more. There may only be, 14 to 24 points scored in that first half. You get a lot more level scores at halftime than you do at full time. And that's my justification for taking the plus half a point.
Yeah, I look at this game and I think it'll be a low scoring contest. Probably a little bit of a weird one here that I am going Warriors, given I tipped the Bulldogs in New Zealand earlier this year. But I have done that a few times where teams have played. I've sort of seen a little bit more and gone ahead and switched my tip. Both sides battling with injury this year, so it's hard to get a true read on what the absolute potential of both sides is. But I like to think the Warriors have shown me a little bit more than the Bulldogs have. But both sides have had memorable wins so far. I just think the Warriors have had probably a little more positive signs. In saying that, they have played three games in the last 11 days, I think it was. It was a very rude start, and they lost all three. But I kind of think the Warriors can come out at the other end of that and say, look, we didn't get the wins there. We had some calls go against us. We were unlucky. Let's rebuild. Let's get back into the swing of things. This is a winnable game for us. And the inclusion of Ronald Volkman I love as well. He's been absolutely awesome in New South Wales Cup, just looking for an opportunity. to Matty Martin out at the moment. Dylan Walker was playing six. He gets a big chance to come in here and lock in that jersey potentially for the rest of the season. With Sean Johnson next to him, that experienced head, SJ has been playing great footy. And if this is a low-scoring contest, I probably lean to the Warriors a little bit more. I think they probably can handle the last 10 minutes if it's close a little bit better than the Bulldogs could. You look at last week, there was some disastrous decision-making down the stretch for the Doggies. And so it's a low-scoring game like I think it does. If it comes down to it, I'm going to take the Warriors in this one. But I do have a try-scoring tip, and it's not from my side. It's from the Bulldogs. Josh Adakar, he's got 5 tries in his last 5 games against New Zealand. He has 20 tries in his last 17 at a Core Stadium. So great try scoring at the venue and against the side. And you have to think he's going to come back and play some pretty good footy, Winnie, given there's that short window to sort of get back and impress for an Origin jersey. Do you think he'll have enough time, do enough to get back in that side?
I think especially the fact that Sualii is underwhelmed. Daniel Tupou's got the hamstring. That left wing spot and Turbo, you know, I don't think they'll play him on a wing. I don't think they'll risk him. We talked a bit about Origin on Sunday. It's the time of year for it, isn't it? We're always talking Origin selection. I think it's open there. It is for the taking. And I'd be happy if he scores, mate, because I'll share my mixed matchup as well, which is the Bulldogs to outscore the Broncos at $2 odds, max 200. On face value, you're thinking, that doesn't sound like great odds. You'd want a lot better than $2 odds for the Bulldogs to beat the Broncos, but it's all about their opponents, of course. That Brisbane are going down playing an angry storm in Melbourne, and the Dogs with some weapons back that we've just discussed who want to prove a point, make their case and put their best foot forward, hosting the Warriors who may have some cracks open up. And as you said, like they lost that game to Penrith and people said, oh, it was their third game in 11 days. Well, this is yet another short turnaround. You go Saturday to Friday, so now we're 4 in 17 days. So if 3 in 11 was so hard, then 4 in 17 is not really any better. I appreciate Ben said they've stayed over in Australia, but it's like still kind of the travel element. You're not sleeping in your own bed. Look, these are all little things that I've seen it before. I've seen teams and they play multiple games away from home, especially if they give a max effort in the first one. That sometimes if one or two things goes against them second game or it's tight for a while, it can break apart. So that's where I like that potential for the Bulldogs to bring it home for us there.
Should be a close game when all things are said and done. The blockbuster Friday night game is the Panthers versus the Sydney Roosters. For the Panthers, they've got no changes to their 17. For the Roosters, Egan Butcher is out, so Angus Crichton gets an opportunity to start, another player that'll be looking to impress for a blue spot. Now, I'm pretty sure in my tipping video, I tipped the Roosters on Instagram, but I'm looking at my notes here, and I've got reasons why I'm tipping the Panthers, so I'm really on the fence with this game. Do you have anyone you really like in this one?
You might like a kind of an either team 1 to 10 or Roosters with the start. And we should say the line is -5.5. Of course, Penrith at home have got to be favoured. And look, I just say it again, the NRL, you're doing well. You're giving us beauties of games for these night, these primetime matches. So we get the back-to-back premiers hosting the team that a lot of experts, and I'm not throwing us in that category, but you and I, Clarkey, also picked the Roosters for the ultimate glory in 2023, as a lot of people did. And these two collide for the first time this year. And there is a lot of intrigue. I think it adding to it is the fact that the Roosters are under a lot of scrutiny recently because they had that shock 14-point loss to the Cowboys. And although Penrith got back on track at Magic Round, of course, Penrith lost in round 8 and round 9. So both are going to be very hungry for this one. The Panthers are kind of trending towards becoming more complete. You got Lenu was an inclusion from the reserves last week, and Liam Martin is a chance to be the same this week. While the Roosters, look, losing Egan Butcher, if there's any position they can cover right now, it is back row. As you said, you can just bring a guy who was on the Kangaroos tour last year in to start. And of course, his brother is going great guns, and you've got Tupanua on the bench as well. And lost in the criticism of the lifeless display on Sunday, which we were there to watch with the tripod crew, there was a small bright spark, which was the return from injury for Billy Smith, which does bolster the outside backs. And I think he can be a mainstay there in the centres. So how concerned should we be about the Roosters? I know everyone wants to talk about them. So I thought I'll do a bit of a deep dive into the Roosters recently them since the bye, which they had in round four, which means they've had six games since the bye. And their form, as you may expect, has been a bit hit and miss. 3-3 in that time, a comprehensive win over Para, then a poor loss in Melbourne. A 50-50 game in Cronulla, but they did lose. They switched off for 10 minutes against St. George and they scraped a win. They struggled to score in the downpour in Auckland, but did still win 14-0. And then they were totally out-enthused by North Queensland. And I kind of summed it up as they played six good halves of footy from their last 12. So it's not dire straits, but of course you expect better from the one-time premiership favourites. Put it this way, what the Roosters have done the last 6 weeks doesn't scare me off backing them. I'm not giving up on them by any means, but it's just that Penrith at home, you have to respect them. You have to favour them. I talked about in the recap, even when the attack isn't quite clicking, the defence keeps them in games. They are bloody hard to score against. And I did think the line should kind of be 4-6. So I didn't have a strong conviction for a best bet. But of course, my mixed matcher, same gamer on better, I will still bake in how I see that one playing out.
Yeah, this is a tough one to pick. It's going to be a super close, awesome game. I can see a comment from Maddie saying Clarkey tipped them both. And that's actually a new tactic that I'm employing this year. So 100% strike rate so far. Look, I'm really wary about what you said last round on the recap regarding teams bouncing back after their worst performance. You look at the Roosters' performances last week, against the Cowboys, and it was probably their worst all season. Really, really poor. And so I did consider them very, very heavily here for an upset, and I'm still not fully off it, just from that one factor you told me. But looking at this one a little bit more deeper, the Panthers still statistically do have the best defense in the league. And the Roosters only have 3 tries in their last 2 games. And they've scored the second least points of anyone in the NRL so far this year. So I think if you couple that sort of attacking struggles with how good the Panthers are defending and how good we know the Panthers are at home, I've got to play it safe and tip that way. So I will take the Panthers. Both sides have the same record this year, 5-4. And that's probably underperformed on expectations, I would say. If you told me at round 10 that they'd be 5-4, I probably wouldn't believe you. Just because we know how class Penrith are. And as you touched on, Roosters were my premiership pick. So sides that are underperforming. But yeah, I'll go Panthers. They have won their last 6 straight over the Roosters as well. So that's certainly in their favour. You mentioned the better same game multi. We will cook that one up for you. We've had some great results so far this year. The sign-up link is in our description if you want to go ahead now and prepare whilst we are live. If you have joined Better, take note, they've just done a major app upgrade. So when you jump on the app, maybe to get on Winnie's next best bet or the next same game multi, it should prompt you to do that update. Otherwise, just hit update on the app store and see what you think for yourself. But just remember to keep it real and ask yourself, what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential advice, call the number on screen or visit the website. And if you're listening to this as a podcast after the fact that we were live, the link for all of that is in the description as well. Saturday opens with the Rabbitohs and the West Tigers. Two sides that you could argue are in some form. The Tigers are 2 from their last 2. The Bunnies are 5 from their last 5. No changes for Souths. For West, John Bateman is expected to come back. He tweaked his hamstring in the warm-up last week. How do you see this one? Do you look at that line and think it's tempting to play the Tigers, or do you just think the Bunnies are just going too well at the moment? You've got to take them.
Well, my first instinct is I'm not going against Souths. So it doesn't, unless it was an absolutely outrageous line, there's just teams that you don't want to get in front of. When you recognize how well they're going, even if the line is a little bit long and maybe shouldn't be that long, they're the kind of side that can just build up a head of steam and then obliterate any line. So what's unfortunate for us is Souths are killing it. We've been on them for best bets. I think in round 8 and 9, I had a lean to them last week. Should have been a best bet. I did take them with a mixed matchup and we lost by 2 points, which has been unlucky because they played so well. And the Bulldogs, who beat them in our mixed matchup, I really didn't think did play too impressively. But that's how it goes sometimes. Different circumstances in each game. So, no, I don't want to play against Souths. When I look at Wes, I do actually recall that crazy game a couple of years ago. You remember the one where Burgess grounds it in Golden Point? But they didn't know if it was grounded. And then Brooks returned at 100 metres, thought he had a winner. That was a crazy surprise. And if you think back 2 years ago, Souths made the grand final that year, but West nearly did shock them in that game. I would say Souths look even better this year. So as I say, I don't want to get out in front of them. So then would I lay the minus 15 and a half? I'd consider it. But as you say, Bateman should hopefully be right to play with that hammy now. And then you've got Clem, who I noticed was in your team of the week, Clarkie. He looks rejuvenated. Brooks is enjoying his footy more with that pressure off him, at least for a little while, with their winning. That X factor that they've got from Jareem Buller. Junior Tupou also on the left wing as a gun. And I think the fact that the Tigers have been a bit of a downtrodden franchise for a number of seasons. There have been some weeks where they came out and probably didn't have any belief that they could even deserve to share the field with some of these opponents. When you've gone and beaten Penrith 2 weeks ago, you know, you do get maybe a little more spring in your step, you know, maybe a little bit more positivity at training, maybe just some of these little one percenters that get a little bit of self-belief that may help them stick in the game. And I'm talking to the tune of being within two or three tries of Souths. Certainly couldn't see an upset. But it's tough sometimes when the line's in the teens. So I'll sit back and just watch it.
Tough when the line's in the teens. If people here watched our World Cup preview, they'll know how tough it was for me whether to pick New Zealand minus 70 over Jamaica or Jamaica plus 70. That's what you call a line. But look, the Tigers did upset the Bunnies last year. Probably can't see the same happening right now. With respect to the Tigers, they've won two in a row and they do look much improved. But it really wouldn't matter who the Bunnies were playing this round, I'd tip them. I can't think of a team I wouldn't take them against. No, I can't. No matter what, I'll take them with the form that they're in. And so it is really tough to find a reason to tip Tigers here, just purely based on how the Rabbitohs are travelling and how high sort of esteem I hold them in this year. Maybe you could play something like Rabbitohs win first half, Tigers win the second half, and then pick like a try scorer from either respective side to only score in either of those halves as a bit of a prop bet for this one, just because the Tigers have looked pretty good in pretty much all second halves so far this year. And I suppose that is the concern. If you are going to play that line for the Bunnies, I certainly think they could jump out to that sort of lead, but then do they sort of just, you know, put the cue in the rack and think, well, we're going to win this no matter what, and then Tigers crawl back just within that margin? Certainly that's a danger if you are going to play it. But the Rabbitohs have won 13 of their last 14 games against bottom four sides. And in all of those games, they've averaged 35 points. Recently, they have won 5 of their last 6 against the Tigers. So the evidence is there when you just say that the Rabbitohs do turn up, even when they're versing less favoured opposition. I think they put 50 on the Bulldogs earlier this year. So I will tip that line. I will take Bunnies 15 and a half cautiously because Tigers have been great in the second half. But I just like that stat a lot. 13 of 14 wins against bottom four opposition and averaging 35 scored against all those teams. It's a pretty big snapshot, 13 games there. So
you're saying the one exception was the Tigers?
Yes.
Who upset Souths last year.
Because they're 5 of 6 against the Tigers recently, and they're 13 of 14. So that would absolutely add up. It would have been that Tigers game where Luke Brooks or Jackson Hastings kicked the field goal.
Yes, it was only a week or two. It was just after they got the crazy Easter Monday win against Para.
Yeah,
it was either the very next week or at most it was 2 weeks later. They upset Souths on a Saturday night as well. I can't remember the exact circumstances, but you might better than me.
I've got in my head Jackson Hastings kicked the field goal against the Eels and then Luke Brooks stepped up and kicked this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is sounds actually quite interesting. I hadn't considered that, but I'll stick to my guns.
Bogey team. Yeah. I mentioned they nearly won in 2021. But then the way you're talking about it, I'm also saying in my head, like, why won't Souths win this by 20 or 30? You know what I mean? Yeah. So sometimes it just depends does the team that gets up, do they, what's their attitude or what's their, you know, what's their mood? Do they feel like going on with it and putting a team to the sword or not?
And that's probably where the line comes into it. It makes a game like this one interesting, where we're still sitting here debating which way it could kind of go. There you go. I genuinely think there is argument for the line to go either way. But if you're on my side, then I'm going to go the Bunnies minus 15 and a half. Then it's the Cowboys and the Dragons. The line for this one is set in favor of the Cowboys. No changes to both sides. Dragons and Cowboys, they will both line up as expected. And that line is -6.5 for the Cowboys. It is Ben Hunt's 300th NRL game. And I've got a weird stat for you, Winnie. He lost his 250th game to the Cowboys as well by a field goal. So going for a milestone revenge, maybe you could say, you're going to take the Dragons here, or are you going to play it a bit safer and go the home side?
Oh, I think the Cowboys win. In fact, I always tell people if I was close to a best bet as well, which I was with North Queensland. If I could have got 5.5, that would be a best bet as well. But it has ticked over the 6. And that was my initial instinct. So sometimes I look at a game, I do my deep dive, but sometimes straight away something's telling me there's only one side I probably want to play. And that's due to the trajectory of both these teams. So remember I said about, must have been 2 or 3 weeks ago, after the Cows got that tough win at home against Newcastle, that might have saved their season. And I thought they might be able to use that win to kind of get right. And then as it turned out, they went down to Cronulla the very next week and absolutely crumbled. Maybe it was needing a little bit of magic at Magic Round to spark them and getting that jolt of energy from a win when the odds were against them. And you see that happen with teams where they can win against the odds and it can propel them. And now they go home and they've got no excuse not to win this one. And you look at the Dragons, they've lost 5 in a row. And as you said on Sunday, not once has they had an opponent score more tries than them. So, of course, every loss has been from a margin of 1 to 6 points down to the wire. But that takes a toll. Think of the Knights who had that run of 4 straight tight matches resulting in 0 wins and then got whacked by Parramatta. It's obviously the energy toll that it takes playing all these games that are down to the final second, but it's also every time you lose, it's that gut punch of your successful season, which is everyone's dream, and success is different for every team. For the Dragons, it's like, why can't we make a run at the 8? It slips further away with loss after loss, especially close losses. They've sabotaged themselves to a degree with the Hook situation, which you don't need to kind of relitigate, but you've got kind of a sacked coach walking. So there's so many reasons not to play St. George. As for the positives, you said Hunt's 300. So for what that's worth, you would like to think his teammates will really want to play hard for him when they may not be playing so hard for the coach. Another positive, as I touched on in the recap, I love the kids playing 1-6-7. They have the talent to create opportunities. You just got to give them time. You know, don't laugh, guys, but people were describing Tyrell Sloan, Bud Sullivan, Junior Moan as like the St. George version of Penrith. These guys coming up through the grades and doing really well, you know, at youth levels, and the ability to come into first grade together. And why couldn't they be? But they haven't been given the opportunity to all play together until now. And Hunt is such a quality player and can do a great job at 9. So I wonder if with no pressure on the Dragons, because nobody really thinks they're going to come in and win this one, if they're dangerous in this. That's about the only thing I could say for them. But I think being at home, wanting to reestablish that fortress at QCB and being so determined to get the season back on the right path is going to trump the Dragons' X factor. So that's why I think North Queensland should win this one well enough.
Yeah, I have to agree. And you talk about teams getting the win the week before and carrying that momentum. Well, the Tigers literally did that in the last 2 weeks with the win being over the Dragons, which the Cowboys will now look to repeat. I would honestly tip Ben Hunt for a try in this one. I just love milestone tries for one, but two, the way he plays is in everything. But just because I don't know how long he's going to spend at hooker, where I think he's much less likely than getting the ball himself at halfback. The thing for the Dragons is, as you touch on, eventually it does build up and a team responds and you get that awesome performance. But they haven't been playing absolutely poor. They've been like, you know, close enough, but just losing and copping all these gut punches where there probably hasn't been bad enough performance for that pressure to build up and sort of suddenly explode into an awesome performance. They do, honestly, they do seem a win. They do seem due one just based on their recent games because they're so close in all of these. But I just wonder how far has their confidence fallen? Because it's not as if, like a side like the Warriors this year where they've won some close ones, 2 points over the Sharkies, and then lost some close ones. This is a side that just lost them. They haven't been able to get over the line for a close one yet. Whereas for the Cowboys, I have to think they're feeling pretty good after that Magic Round win. They found their blueprint again. They played through their defense. It's what made them great last year. It's what can continue to make them great this year. So that's exciting. I think they continue to build on that, and that defensive sort of structure remains. If that Cowboys side shows up from Magic Round, 1,000% they win here. No offense to Dragons fans, but that's just the side that the Cowboys are. Going at this from a stats lens, the Dragons have only won in Townsville two times since 2005. And all three of their games that they have played at this new Country Bank Stadium in particular have included a field goal. So maybe there's some stats there to suggest a close one, but my gut feeling says no. I think Cowboys have got this one in the bag.
And to respond to some comments, Blanche, who's a diehard Dragons fan, says, leave Griffin in North Queensland, please. Yeah. Maybe they will tell him he's welcome to just carry on to Air League or whatever, go stay at a Backpackers, have some fun up there. I don't know if he's going to be welcome back down Cogra. Another comment there, because this is one thing I didn't even touch on. I swear I spoke about multiple moments that the Dragons butchered performance against the Tigers, but Sloan lucky to have a job after the horrendous grubber kick. Christo Bliss comments at the halftime buzzer. So we were there. We were on that end of the ground. And people forget the final play of the half, all the Dragons had to do was just, you know, survive. The Tigers put a kick in behind. Sloan muffed the gather and they actually got awarded a try to Appy Korosau. And so the Tigers had got him with the killer blow, the try on the stroke of halftime. And they got a reprieve because after 20 looks at it from the bunker, it was found that Korosau had knocked on. So it was Sloan's mistake that nearly handed the Tigers a try. But then because it had gone to the video ref, the time stopped. So the Dragons ended up with the ball back with a few seconds to go. And Sloan was carrying it. And I was going, don't hold it out from your body with one hand. Like, what are you doing? And then he went for the grubber, which so easily could have just gone back into the in goal. And I turned to some Dragons fans that were sitting with us going, your team's trying to lose. Like, they're trying to lose. I was incredulous. So, I don't know if they've got a better option, really. Obviously, you got the Ramsey situation. But that moment said it all, didn't it?
Oh, it's just a brain snap. The only brain snap worse was Josh Reynolds when he ran off the field at Seabus and threw the ball back in. But it was an intentional forward pass. And then he had to run back out of the sheds when he realized it wasn't halftime. That's probably the only halftime snap. Or maybe Jaden Campbell's against the Broncos. But yeah, great player in everything Tyrell Sloan is. But there's a lot of rough around the edges. He's got to shave down if he wants to be a consistent first grader. Saturday closes with the Raiders and the Eels right here in Canberra. For the Raiders, Albert Hopewadi is in, so Xavier Savage drops out. For the Eels, a massive change. Jacob Arthur comes in for Mitchell Moses, who is unavailable due to that head knock. The line is set at -2.5 in the Raiders' favour. You seeing it that way? Are you going Raiders in this one?
Slightly, yeah. I think it's a fair line, and I will go Canberra. I'll say it again. Like, night games in this round, the weather is getting colder. I don't know about you guys. I'm going to just be staying in and enjoying all these games. We've got great ones every single night. Look, Canberra's quietly won 4 in a row. And I know a few weeks ago I was saying, look, the Raiders just aren't that good. But I have warmed to the Green Machine in recent weeks. And as you guys would know, you go back, I leaned to them against St. George and they did scrape the cover. I don't know if they deserved the cover there, but they did win. I leaned to them against the Dolphins. Luckily, didn't play them a best bet because they didn't cover, but they did scrape the win. And then I really liked them against the Dogs, and they only scraped the cover there, but they definitely deserved to cover that line as we covered in the recap, and we did win our best bet. And it comes down to this halves combination on the back of a forward pack that is getting on the front foot, and Fogarty and Whiten behind them can put on points. As for defense, well, the Raiders have let in 30 the last 2 weeks, despite winning both of those. I don't want to make excuses for them. You know, when you don't let a ball bounce off a kick and you let in tries, it's not bad, totally bad luck. You've got to be better. But I do see it as an area that it wouldn't be that hard to clean up and get a bit better. And then if the Raiders could defend at a higher level, they could be a serious team. They could be a dangerous team that would start to push up, you know, push into the conversation of our teams that can make a run at the four. I really believe now that they've got kind of all their best players available. Now, as for the Eels, they've been up and down, you know, very disappointing in Darwin, particularly they lost that in like a 10 or 15 minute period against the Broncos. They couldn't climb back. Then they just knocked the Knights around. But the same sort of story against your Titans, a slow start and then forced to chase the game for the rest of the night. But now you go down to the Capital and no Mitch Moses, as you touched on. It's a big ask. You know, the Eels can do it. If the Eels can kind of harness that defensive grit that helped them win a lot of games when we didn't expect them to last year and even the year before, they've had some heroic defensive performances against quality teams like Melbourne at their best and Penrith at their best. That's the kind of level they're going to need to find down in Canberra. And the forward pack's going to have to match up with this physical, brutish Canberra Raiders pack that's got a lot of players in form to even give Brown, was outstanding on Sunday night, but like Brown, Gutho, Hodjo against his former team, they won't have space to breathe if their forward pack can't aim up. So it's like, can't rule Para out, but I was more inclined to potentially even lay the points with Canberra. And the funny thing is, a week ago, they wouldn't have even been favoured in this game. But that's how kind of fluid it all is in the dynamic of the NRL.
And I think a big reason of that line swap as well is probably due to Mitchell Moses. With the Eels starting with Jake Arthur at halfback, I think they've only won 2 of 6 games, so not the best form there with him starting. I will say for the Raiders, I think a lot of their wins are coming just purely through effort and determination, which is an awesome characteristics to have as a footy side. But it is hard to consistently replicate over a whole season. Because they've won 4 in a row there and all have been 6 points or less, I'm going to tip the Eels for an upset here. I think that plus line should probably be a bit higher because I fully acknowledge that the tip is, I am looking at an upset by tipping it. And without Mitchell Moses, it will be really hard. But I just think if Raiders are winning all these with gutsy efforts, maybe they slack off for a week and then start to rebuild another winning streak on the other end. So, yeah, I'll go Eels here. I think will be a bit more desperate as well, just due to their ladder position. I think they're 13th. They'd love to be a hell of a lot higher than that. Whereas Raiders have to be feeling a bit more comfortable on a 4-game winning streak. I'm going to think Dylan Brown has a pretty good game as well there. The last 2 weeks, he's had over 200 metres. I think he's never been the main half before. He's never had to be because it's always Mitchell Moses. But I think personally, he has a real opportunity here to stand up, have a fantastic game and win what the Eels aren't expected to do. They're not expected to win this game. So it would be a great upset victory by him. And also Jacob Arthur, he has copped it from pillar to post, this bloke. So I'm fingers crossed on a personal level. He plays strong for the Eels. Stats are absolutely against my tip here. The Eels have a dismal record at GIO. They've only won 3 out of their 16 games there all time. But they do have a nice recent form against the Raiders, where they've won 5 of their last 6. So tough to split it from a stats perspective there. We've got 2 games left, the Sunday football. Before we get to those games, we have a clip from Tristan Merlihan, the CEO of TopSport, to give us an exclusive market insight.
G'day everyone, it's Tristan Merlihan here from TopSport, and we've got a really, really good weekend of football coming up where there's only one game greater than that try handicap, which of course is the Bunnies against the Tigers. Where the Tigers, they're on the back of 2 wins, but they take on the white hot Bunnies, 15.5 that line. All the others are 6.5 or less. So a really good weekend of footy anticipated. A few of the big moves so far have been the Bulldogs against the Warriors, 2.5 into 1.5. The Cowboys jumping over that key number of 6, going from -5.5 and a 6.5. And then a game where I'm a little bit nervous as a Titans fan after they've had their 2 good wins in recent times. They come back to a team where they are in front of on the ladder, but the money's been all one-way traffic for the Knights. They've been $2 into 180, and the Titans have drifted from 180 out to $2. So certainly a big push for the Knights on the back of their return from Bali. Had a great round out there at a great day out there at Magic Round with all of the crew. Looking forward to doing another event in the future at some point and meeting a few more of you. Hopefully you're back a winner over the weekend. And of course, as always, gamble responsibly.
Thank you very much to Tristan. There, our sign-up code for TopSport, if you're interested, is TP Live. And of course, always gamble responsibly. It's the Knights and the Titans opening up Sunday footy. This is a pick'em, Winnie. It's absolutely pick'em. For the Knights, they have Adam Elliott back on the bench. For the Titans, only the one change. Cruz Leeming comes in. And K Keno Kitty, who was impressive on debut. He's out. You've got a best bet on the Knights, so maybe a chance to let us know exactly why.
And I'll start by just confirming this misconception that's out there that the Knights all went to Bali, which even I heard someone say it, and I repeated it on the show because it sounded right, like they did a team trip to Bali, or a bunch of them went. But the more I've heard about it, the only player they've actually confirmed went was Bradman Best, because someone saw something on his social media. And then the Knights came out and said one or two other players might have traveled during the time and they were given a week off because, you know, they'd had a hard run. So it's hardly what it's kind of been, you know, built up to be in reality. And then people, of course, said it was so bad because they got smashed by the Eels. Like, oh, you should, I don't know, what should they be doing in their bye week? What, you should have to train the whole week because you had, you know, because you got pumped. Like, it was kind of one bad game against a strong opponent. Like, do we toss out all the kind of exceptional efforts that the Knights put in prior to round nine? And don't forget about the injury and suspension toll that they've had to deal with. And they will be freshened up in this one. They get Adam Elliott back in, who was a key signing this year for this season that hasn't been able to contribute a lot on the park. Neither has Caelan Ponga. And I know he got much maligned for his performance against the Eels. No one was good in that game. Don't forget how good he is and how much of a handful he is for defences to keep out. And that's going to be someone that's going to be tough to deal with for your Titans, Clarkie. I'm sure you can recall a lot of high-scoring games between these Tides and Caelan Ponga having plenty of success against your talented Titans. Whereas, of course, the Gold Coast can score points, we know, but I actually think the hallmark of the Knights season has been they're tougher this year and they have been pretty good defensively against some good attacking opponents. So that is why I do like Newcastle. I do believe they should be the favourite in this game. And I do also believe there's a strong home advantage. And I've heard anecdotally from people that go to Knights games talking about how that was one of the best atmospheres in years, the last time they played at home, which was, of course, the Golden Point game. They didn't even win, but they got oh so close against Penrith. But I do think that the crowd, you know, is really buzzing this year and has some belief in this team and will get behind them again, which can help in a close game. And then, look, as for your Titans, you've got to give them a heap of credit for the outstanding fashion in which they've bounced back since the Dolphin disaster. You have several players in great form who are making their rep case. You know, everyone wants to play their best footy this time of year, especially if you're on the cusp. I get all that. But I do also think that Gold Coast have poured a lot in. That Dolphins game itself was physically and emotionally taxing, but then they've really put an emphasis on rebounding the right way on a road trip down in down to Brookvale, and then, you know, playing all the way down to the wire against the Eels. It can be a stern task. Now they've got to go and travel again and play a side that is fresh off a bye. And as I said before, you've got no Brimson. Don't forget that just because they've won a couple. It's the kind of game that if they're not on point and buttoned up, they could actually struggle in.
This is going to be a really tough one to tip, my boys, but everyone knows I'm going to do it out of loyalty anyway. But how much does the bye help Newcastle? That's the first question. And as we pointed out earlier in the show, the data indicates this year there's about a 90% chance a team's going to back up very well off a bye. Only one side this year hasn't. For the Knights, of course, if that same side that showed up against the Eels shows up, they lose, no question about it. But you can't narrow in on that, because if the same side that shows up the 3 weeks previous comes, then they win. I will say, I was here the last time these two played in Newcastle, and the atmosphere was awesome, and it was a really, really a tough one. And overall, we are only 4 wins out of 13 at the venue. And I saw a comment that rolled through before that said the Titans haven't won in Newcastle since 2016. 4 out of 13 overall. Great stat there, Alan. It will be tough. I mean, I can add another tough stat to it, Winnie. We've not won 3 in a row since 2021. So, I mean, being biased, I'm going to say there's great motivation there and we can harness it. But just being realistic, the Knights do average 34 tackle breaks per game. So there absolutely will be opportunity for them to score with the spark and the talent they have around the park. Greg Marzu, I think he's someone who will absolutely score against his former team. So if you are considering a same game mulch on this one, I'd look at Marzu. I think he'd want to have a great game against his old side. The Titans are probably slightly in better form. Maybe if we take the last three games, but it's pretty close being realistically. Here's the biggest tip or the biggest stat that I've got for this one. And you said the home ground was important, Winnie. This sums it up. When playing at their principal home ground, so for the Titans Seabus, for the Knights McDonald Jones Stadium, the home side has won the last 10 games these two sides have played head-to-head. But that's a big snapshot again. Double-digit snapshot out of 10 games. So that stat there, realistically, with everything I've thrown at the air, I think you do have to tip the Knights, but I'm going to be extremely biased and tip my Titans with no great confidence.
Just for some interest, I'm going to throw this out there because people might ask, where's the take on Toppy? Where's the try scorer tip? I come up with the short list of teams who I like. The three I had was Melbourne, Canterbury, and Newcastle. Tristan gives the candidates who he'd be willing to price the most aggressive price in the market, and Clarkey makes the pick. And Clarkey just didn't love any of the three options this week, and that's fair enough. Respect that. There was another week you just didn't want to give a tip. If you don't completely love it and want to endorse it, you know, I don't want you, and I would never do that either. But let's just tell people who the three were, just for their interest. We'll see how they go. So Warbrick for Melbourne, Alamotti for Canterbury, and Lockie Miller. These were the players that Toppy didn't mind making their price very aggressive. So that means Toppy doesn't think those players are going to score. That means Clarkey doesn't particularly think those players are going to score either. Do with that what you will, guys. If you avoid those players in your SGMs, or if you go the other way and think that Clarkey's wrong, then that might be who you look at.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping all three don't come out and score now and put me to shame. I probably lean to Will Warbrick the most out of those options. But my top 10, well, not my, the top 10 most likely try scorers this round statistically, and this will come out on my page tomorrow, this round is Alex Johnston, Mulatalo and Katoa from the Sharks, Mike Acevo, both the Knights wingers, Marzu and Young. Latrell Mitchell's at 52% chance. Josh Adokar's over 50%, as is Brian To'o and Kyle Felt, 50% chance as well. So that I usually like, if I can get one of those players that the AI model as well says they look good to score, and then I can get my sort of where I'm looking at the game to match it, all three of those together, I'm keen. But I just couldn't get to that this week, so I had to
Respect that. You know what I find funny? Obviously, Souths are a 15-point favorite. You're going to have more likely to have try scorers. And yet, Tane Milne's not on that list, a no, Souths winger. But you mentioned a couple of Sharks players high on that list, so it's a pretty good segue to the final game of round 11.
Yeah, absolutely. And this one is at Four Pines Park, Brookvale Oval. No changes for either side. And the Sharks are -4.5 favourites. This is actually a tougher one to tip than I think people are considering. And I think there's great arguments to go either way in this one. Which way are you going?
Yeah, it is a tough one. I definitely lean to Cronulla. It's another one that I considered making a best bet. Firstly, you've got both sides off a horror performance. And I'm so glad you brought that up about the Roosters, because that was actually in my notes. And I'm just, you know, I glance at my notes as I do the pod live, but I forgot to mention that one, that would qualify as worst performance of the year for the Roosters, and therefore potentially opportunity to bounce back, which we've seen multiple times. And we've discussed it Not just in retrospect. We've talked about where it could be the case and then seen it play out. But when they're both off horror performances, you know, you do sense that sometimes that both sides are desperate and both sides are trying hard because they're trying to recapture that confidence and that form. And sometimes that makes games a bit more unpredictable. Sometimes it makes them a bit tighter, which could be the case in this one. Manly's at home. Like, you do still have to respect that. But the reason I won't play Manly is basically the same reason I've been saying and why I had a best bet against them. You're betting on Manly. You want to know Tom Pavlovich is himself and going to play well. But how can we know that? You've got no Jake Pavlovich, and we know how important he is. And, of course, Schuster, although he's named in reserves, like, what kind of fitness, you know, is he in? Is it desperation at this stage? If you don't play him, you know, it's 700K sitting on the bench. But if you do, you're just going to hope that he does well. And on top of that, how confident are we in the coach? I touched on that again. You know, it's a shaky start to the Seabold era. That's why I lean to the Sharks. They would definitely qualify for good team off bad loss, and it would be their worst loss of the season. I know that the New Zealand loss hit them hard because they blew the 20-point lead, but at least they built a lead in that game, whereas they got beat by 20. I think it was 20 in the end. Did they cut it to to like 16 against my Dolphins. You know, it was a very comprehensive loss and a real shock. And that's why I think this line should probably be 6 at least. So I was close to laying it with Cronulla. That would be a direction I wouldn't talk people out of.
I'll start with Jake Javojevic. You mentioned he's important. They are 5 from 5 losses without him. So 100% loss rate in their last 5 without him. And the stats show us they lose about 70% of their games without Tom Trbojevic as well. That data comes more so from when he was in his fantastic Dally M form, which he hasn't been as of recent. So straight away, there's some ugly stats for Manly. And both sides were well embarrassed in Magic Round. Manly were never in it. And Sharks, whilst they did bring the score back to something of a respectable scoreline, 20 minutes in, it was about 30-0. And it was over. It was over at that point. It was just how much are they going to lose by, really? I'm going to take the Sharkies to bounce back. I'm going to say that because last week, before their shock loss, I spoke of how they're trending up for me and how I think besides Rabbitohs, they'd be my premiership favourite at the moment. And I also said how I think Manly are trending downwards for me. And so although both sides were poor, it'd be a bit strange if I was saying that last week and then, you know, suddenly flipped it on its head. I'm still going to stick with that. So that leads me to picking the Sharks here. I think I have to. But the Sharks have only won 7 out of 49 games at Brookvale Oval. That's the worst record of like anything I've ever seen traveling to an opposition in the NRL. 7 from 49 since these two started playing. And recently they're 1 from 8. So it hasn't improved over the years. So if you are thinking Manly for an upset in this one, can I just cast your mind back to the Melbourne Storm game 3 rounds ago, I think it was, where they were at home. They shocked the Storm. They were awesome. I like to pick out these upset games. And if Sharks had have won last round of Magic Round, as strange as this sounds, I would have tipped Manly. But because the Sharks played so poor, and I do view them quite highly, I'm going to go against my usual method. I'm going to go the Sharkies here. But the signs do seem to be there for a bit of a Manly upset, perhaps you'd say.
That's right. And it sounds counterintuitive, but it's definitely there's something to it that when a team plays worse, but you know they're capable of so much more, you may actually have more confidence in them next week because you know that everyone's a bit more focused at training. You know, people are even playing for their spots in some cases. If the coach, I like it when the coach keeps faith in a team and names the same 17, which I believe is the case for both these sides in this one, because it means they're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But people are on notice after a poor performance. And if the coach keeps the faith, even more reason for them to be focused. So I understand that taking the favorite in this one.
Yeah, no changes to either side, like you said there. I think the most exciting thing about this round is, like Tristan said, there's only the one game, and that's the premiership favorites right now, the Bunnies. It's bigger than a double-digit line. So we are expecting a pretty closely contested, awesome round of footy, getting back to what we had at the start of the year more. So that's all I've got for the show. Have you got anything further, Winnie?
That's it, mate. No, as you say, like so many close games, these are the best rounds to watch.
Yeah, we can't wait, guys. And we will be back on Sunday to recap all the action and recap all of our bets. That'll be after the final game concludes. I think it finishes. It will probably be about 6:30 p.m., maybe just after here on the Sunday recap show. And we hope to see more of you there. Thank you very much for being with us here for our preview show. We really appreciate it. And we hope that we can see you again on Sunday. Thank you very much.
Lego.